Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
The weather may be cooling down, but the deals are heating up during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, beefy burgers, cozy comfort meals, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today. From tailgating essentials to everyday family favorites, the Red Hot Sale event is your chance to save big on everything you need to serve up fabulous fall flavor. USDA-certified tender steaks, plump and juicy air-chilled chicken, easy appetizers, and even cozy comfort meals for those busy weeknights. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Blaze a trail to OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 215 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 great co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Another Friday morning record here, Chris. You awake?
I am. Yeah, I've already had my breakfast and I haven't had coffee yet, but I'm good. So this would be fun. We should do this every morning when we do this full time.
That'd be awesome. What better way to start your day than with some fantasy baseball talk and some prospect talk, just recording a podcast in general? I have not had my coffee yet, but we'll probably go out and get some after we record here. Got to go out and run some errands today after I got the day off from work. So good way to start the day. We get a lot of fun names here. Some more call-ups to talk about, you know, who might be the next prospects to be called up. Some standout prospects and, you know, a lot of Cincinnati Reds to talk about today, obviously. So pretty fun episode in store today to round out the work week here on Friday. But before we do, let's get the usual housekeeping out of the way here. You can find us on Twitter, Chris is at RotoClegg. I am at EricCross04. Show is at ToolShedPod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. And make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, Chris's Substack and my Patreon, for more work from each of us, including all of our prospect and dynasty rankings, along with, you know, we do daily write-ups and a lot of other fun stuff as well. So definitely go out and check those out. We greatly appreciate the support. But to start off the show, obviously, where else can we start out than with Ellie De La Cruz, who's already showing, you know, why he's so hyped up. And it's just his first few games in the major leagues. Already has multiple batted ball events above 110, including a ball that I swear went 500 plus feet. They said it was like, what, 460 or something like that. It looked longer than that. It was an absolute missile. I heard, was it like the nearby airport picked it up on their radar or whatever? Which
I was trying to figure out if that was real or not, but
I don't know if it is. I saw that. I've got to like, you know, confirm or deny that, but just showing like he's already had those super high exit velos in two games actually so far. Already had the best home the third time in the major leagues this season on a triple he had. So he's already flashing all these massive tools, Chris. Like I wrote up in my article and wrote a baller. Like I think there's only three players in baseball that I say possess 40-40 upside. Ronald Acuña Jr., obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Ellie De La Cruz. So if you keep that K rate in check, which obviously he's done a better job of lately, the upside is there's no limits to it, Chris. So I don't know. I'll let you wax poetically about him as well.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at the history of these guys that strike out at high rates, like Ellie De La Cruz did, then obviously you have some concerns about, like, you know, what will he end up looking like? What will he produce like? And that's a good question. Like, you have to think about those things. And the skill set's just so unique here with Ellie De La Cruz. He hits the ball as hard as anybody. I mean, he hits the ball like Giancarlo Stanton power, Aaron Judge power, and he has Corbin Carroll speed. He's actually faster, as we've seen, as he was clocked and recorded. He's almost just a unicorn of a player at this point. And you really have to wonder, like, despite the strikeouts, like, what can he be? And even if he strikes out 30% of the time, I think this is still an absolute fantasy stud. Like, I don't really care if he strikes out 30% of the time because he's going to hit the ball so hard. And when he has the speed to get on base at a high clip still, like, there's just something about when you hit the ball hard and you have the speed, you're going to run high BABIPs, and Ellie's going to do that. So I'm thinking that he could reach 40-40 despite the strikeouts. Yep. Like, I don't know. I just see so much Fernando Tatis here, and he just makes it work. Like, there's Javi Baez risk, and we saw Javi Baez have really good seasons from a power speed standpoint. But Ellie never chased at the rate that Javi Baez did. Javi Baez has league-worst chase rates. And Ellie De La Cruz never has done that. I'll just pull the data just to reference. Last year, Ellie chased 34% of the time. For reference, Javi Baez is like 45% and up. So 34% chase rate last year, that's only improved this year as he has progressed and gotten better. Let me give you the exact numbers. And I know everybody's kind of like, the automatic ball strikes in AAA helped him out. And you look, and there was some good research, and it definitely did benefit him that he had that. Like, he definitely walked more and struck out less with the automatic ball strike system. But there was still major progress regardless. And the strikeouts were high early on, but he was coming back from injury, and he was still getting his timing down. His chase rate this year in AAA, just 29%, which is actually really good. So I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that Ellie is a unicorn. And you can't really compare him to anybody because of what he does. Like, you take two of the best players and their assets in the game and merge them together. Like, the only thing would be, like, if he had, like, elite contact skills. But who cares? Because he has, like, two of the three that, like, make him a fantasy stud. So I think Ellie is going to be a first rounder next year. I think he's going to be a top five dynasty asset by season's end. And, yeah, the hype is insane right now. But I think he's only going to move up from where he is right now, which is nuts to think about. But yeah, Ellie's just so unique and good.
Yeah, he's already top 25 dynasty for me. And yeah, I could totally see both those things that you said. Top five dynasty by end of the year, first round fantasy guy by next year. Yeah, I've heard, you know, him get, you know, Javi Baez. I've heard people like, oh, is he O'Neal Cruz, Jazz Chisholm? No, he's better than all of them. Yeah, he has more upside than all of them. And, you know, another thing that factors in too, like, he's going to be hitting, you know, playing half his games in one of the top two most hitter-friendly parks in baseball. So it's not like he's like Jazz playing in the big park down there in Miami, you know, or, you know, even like Acuna. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Acuna and Tatis, obviously, but, you know, even Acuna and Tatis probably play, I mean, I feel like, what's true? Is it probably like a right around the medium? It's not like hitter-friendly. It's not pitcher-friendly, right? It's kind of in the middle. I feel like Petco is as well. So Ellie gets to play in a hitter's haven.
The best.
Yeah, the best. Yeah, it's even surpassed Coors. Coors is number two now. Great American Ballpark is number one. Like, I think it was Shelley Verstrate tweeted out the other day after that massive home run. Ellie's going to hit one out the entire park at some point, probably some point this season. So, yeah, the 40-40 upside is real. He's shown improvements. Like, he has a better approach now than he did a year ago. A better approach now than he did a month ago, even. So he's shown those improvements. And, you know, if they can stick and he can just keep the K rate from, you know, not going too out of control, keep it like, you know, under 30% or so. Because even a guy around 30%, we've seen Judge be in that 30% range even. So, yeah, just imagining what this guy could be. It's insane to think about, you know, the legit 40-40 upside that Elway has. And I think, you know, that Cincinnati lineups keep getting better and better. You know, they added McLean. You know, Steer's been performing fairly well as well. And obviously, Ellie up now. You got Encarnacion Strand probably up soon. Noel V, a bunch more guys below that. So this could be a pretty good lineup over the next handful of years as well. So yeah, Ellie's going to be an absolute stud. You know, the other promotion in Cincinnati, though, that needs to be talked about is Andrew Abbott, who pitched 6 shutout innings in his debut. Yeah, the Brewers aren't exactly the greatest against lefties, but whatever. Like, it was a very impressive debut. And again, 6 shutout innings with 6 strikeouts. I mean, this is a guy that has been an absolute strikeout machine. K rate over 40% this year, over 35% for his minor league career. You know, mixes the fastball, curveball, changeup as well. You know, again, he's a guy that was always a bit undervalued. He's, you know, one of those guys that was a little bit older for the level, but the strikeout stuff is there. And he's a guy that I think can keep the ball in play at a Great American Ballpark, which obviously is, you can just limit the home runs, which is what's bitten Hunter Green at times. So if you can limit the home runs, you know, miss bats, you're going to make it work in Cincinnati. So I feel like he could be a Robbie Wright type of guy. Maybe he's not ever a guy that has super low ratios, but maybe like a 3.5 ERA type, you know, whip 1.15, 1.2, something like that. But at the same time, a ton of strikeouts, you know, 30%+ K rate guys. So I'm definitely buying into Andrew Abbott long term.
Yeah. And I think there was always the concerns like, oh, he's just striking out more guys because he was in the Southern League in AA and using the tacky ball. Then he moved up to AAA and was just fine. And he's shown, his start with the Reds, he's been really, really good. He did walk 4 in that debut, but you have to wonder about nerves, et cetera. Like, in your MLB debut, and that stuff happens.
Right.
But he struck out 6. He allowed just 1 hit over 6 scoreless. The fastballs remained a tick up all year, sitting around 93. That's a mile per hour up from last season. His curveball is just outstanding. It's one of the better curveballs you'll see. It looks really sharp. He throws a sweeper too. And I just love the arsenal. It's pretty well rounded. He keeps hitters on their feet with all those pitches. And he mixes in a changeup some too. So I do think Abbott will be one that he's not going to be an ace. I don't ever see him being an ace at any point in his career. But I do think there will be solid strikeouts. There will be pretty solid ratios. There's going to be some inconsistencies, as you saw with the walks, but I think Andrew Abbott is just going to be a really solid mid-rotation, high strikeout fantasy arm for the foreseeable future. And I think he's worth investing in a dynasty because I'm not sure if people still believe it's real. I hope they believe it's real. I think he leads all of baseball in strikeouts at this point. But if somehow you can get him, I would. I think he's every bit legit.
Yep. Now, real quick, would you rather have him or Brian Wu, who came up recently as well? Long-term, him or Wu?
I do like Wu's arsenal a little better. So it's close.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, right now, give me Abbott. But long-term, while it's close, I'll lean Wu.
I think I'm the same way. I mean, it's hard to say. I think there's plenty of strikeout upside with Wu as well. I do think Abbott will probably have the higher K rate long-term, but I can see Wu running a little bit better ratios. Doesn't have to pitch in Cincinnati either. So, yeah, I think I will lean Wu, but it might be a case where their overall value is pretty damn similar. And it's been a lot of fun arms coming up this year, especially lately. Obviously, Jason Shaver coming up as well. All the Millers, you know, Bybee, Allen, you know, still got a few more to come here. So, definitely been a really fun year for promotions in general, especially on the pitching side. But sticking in Cincinnati, let's go over to Matt McClain here. You know, McClain had a slow start, you know, for the first handful of games. But, you know, over his last, was it 16 games, 384, 423, 575, four doubles, two home runs, two steals, and a 20.5% strikeout rate. Obviously showed a much better approach this year. Kept the walk rate high, dropped the K rate down when he was in AAA. Obviously hitting for power and speed. You know, I still have no idea where, like, the long-term construction of this infield. Like, they move, you know, they've had Elliott third. They move him back to short. Does McClain go to the outfield? Do they trade India? I still don't have a great grasp on that. But wherever McClain ends up, whether it's short, second, maybe outfield, I think this is a very good fantasy asset here. I kind of get some Dansby Swanson vibes from him. I want to see what your thoughts are on that, Chris. You know, Swanson, obviously a pretty solid power speed guy, has also had some swing and miss issues at times in his game. But overall, you know, a guy that can go, you know, flirt with 25 home runs and 15 to 20 steals annually. I think that's what we could see from McClain moving forward.
Yeah, I think Matt McClain's pretty undervalued. He just performs, and he's kind of a dude at this point. And I think this sticks. Like, what we've seen, I could see it sticking. And, you know, two home runs and 100 plate appearances in the majors, whatever. He has a 10.3% barrel rate.
Yeah.
He's hitting the ball hard and hitting the ball in the sweet spot 41.2% of the time. There are going to be more home runs. Just look at his spray chart, and it's like, oh, man, like, this guy's close to having six home runs already. And obviously, we haven't seen that. He has just two, but looking at him, like, it's just easy to see him just going on a power mirage at home. And just, like, I was supposed to say power barrage, not mirage, but in him just really breaking out. Like, the speed's there. He's seeing the ball hard. The power's there, too. I think he's highly undervalued. And I just think that McClain's still one that you should get in on before it's too late. Because going to be boosted in Great American Small Park. Power is going to play up. The Babbitt plays up there too. He makes good contact, so I'm not really worried about that. Yeah, I think Dansby's interesting. I don't know. I was trying to think of, like, could he be better than Dansby?
He could. I think he definitely could. Yeah. The metrics are good. Like you said, you know, his zone contact's right around league average, better than league average chase and whiff rates, which is definitely encouraging given what we had seen in the past from him. You know, 91st percentile sprint speed, like, just pretty, it's not like a standout in any one area, but just pretty damn good across the board. And I think a guy that could be, you know, a 2020 guy with a good, decent average and a pretty solid OBP as well. Only has right around the 7% walk rate right now, but he's shown much more patience than that in the minor league. So, you know, I expect that to tick up moving forward. And yeah, I think he could be a guy that settles in as a top 100 dynasty guy, maybe even pushes top 50. I think that's definitely possible if he can get to these kind of, you know, area that we think he could be offensively. So yeah, definitely 100% buying Matt McClain, and hopefully everyone bought low. You know, there's a nice little buy low window this offseason on him. I hope everyone capitalized on that, because he's definitely then the price tag's only gone up since opening day and probably will continue to go up. But yeah, definitely love some McLean here. A few other names have come up over the last week or so. Johnny DeLuca, probably the biggest of the other three names we have on the list here. You know, with DeLuca, kind of feels, you know, not exactly comparing him to James Altman, but, you know, similar as, you know, a slightly older prospect. I mean, he's 24, almost 25. He'll be 25 in about a month. But it's a guy that gets overvalued because of that, same like how Altman was last year. Even though the production has been very good, you look at 2022 for DeLuca in between high A and double A at 25 home runs and 17 steals in just 98 games, slash 260, 347, 541. This year in 49 games between double A and triple A, 292, 378, 574, 11 home runs, 11 doubles, 14 home runs, 12 steals, only caught one time as well. And even the guy that has shown a better approach than Altman has, a little bit less swing and miss in the profile for DeLuca. I know Dave Roberts has said he's only going to play against lefties, so that kind of limits his short-term value. But long-term, Chris, I'm a DeLuca guy. I've written him up a couple times this year over on my Patreon. I'm sure you have as well over on your Substack. You know, this guy, that the profile is legit, and I think he's still being slept on a bit right now.
Yeah, he is kind of James Altman-ish. He just needs playing time. He makes really good contact. He makes better contact than James Altman does. He hits the ball hard. He has sneaky good speed. This guy was a stud track star in high school. Just give you the kind of like picture of what kind of athlete he is. Like, he could have been an elite like track runner in college. And some schools wanted him for that. And he was a high jumper, if I'm not mistaken, and also a sprinter. Very, very good athlete. So the speed's there. The contact skills are there. The power is probably the biggest question of what you're going to get with him. Like, he doesn't hit the ball insanely hard, but I do think he gets to enough power to be relevant and be a solid fantasy asset. We've seen him post like good home run totals. He hit actually a ton last year. I didn't realize how many he had hit. 18 in high A and 7 in double A last season. And he'd already hit 14 this year. But the underlying metrics on the power are kind of just okay. But it shows that like he gets the most of his power. Like, he's getting to it to the pool side, which certainly helps. And he's doing his damage where he needs to do. He's lifting the ball a lot. He has good home run to fly ball rates, which you like to see. I just want to see him play regularly. He hasn't been doing that so far. Like, if you're going to call the guy up, like, let him play. He's only played in one game so far. With the Dodgers, he went 0-3, whatever. But I like DeLuca a lot. I think DeLuca's underrated, and I think he's somebody that I'd potentially buy in on in dynasty leagues, because I think while you may not get the returns this year, I really think DeLuca's going to be a dude long-term. And if you can afford to kind of roster him and have him around on your bench this year, and play him when he does play and he's hot, I think you'll reap the rewards in years to come. Like, this is a really good ball player.
Now, let's dust off the old crystal ball here. 5 years from now, Chris, who's the better fantasy player, Altman or DeLuca?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think Altman has more upside.
Yeah.
But DeLuca's a bit safer and has pretty solid upside of his own.
Yeah.
I mean, right now in my rankings, obviously Altman's ahead, but I can see a future where DeLuca's the better. I like both of them. I think Altman has fallen off, obviously, and because of the swing and miss primarily being a concern, but I do think he'll be pretty good long-term, maybe more ebbs and flows than you'd like to see, but I think both will be pretty good, but I mean, I can see it being DeLuca.
Yeah. It would not surprise me, because the contact skills are stronger, which leads me to believe that there's a stronger sticking point there, because that's a huge aspect, is just making consistent contact. And we've seen some inconsistencies from James Altman with contact, at least. And DeLuca, I don't think we'll see that as much.
Yep, definitely agree there. All right, last two names on the docket here for the prospect promotions. Kind of, you know, not as big of the names as we've talked about, but Reese Olson with the Detroit Tigers and Lucan Baker and the next guy up in the ever revolving door of, you know, players being brought up and sent back down by the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, Baker absolutely mashed this season in AAA Memphis, hitting 313, 434, 641, 43 walks to only 53 Ks in 54 games, 18 home runs. It's a guy that's always been a big power bat, but, you know, the last couple of years didn't really hit for much average, you know, in the 240 to 250 range or so. And then Reese Olson, brought up by Detroit, pitched fairly well in his debut, two earned and six strikeouts over five innings. Guy that's having had a much better year this year. Actually, his worst year. Triple A, his ERA was 6.38 in 10 starts. Last year was 3.96 last year. You know, let's start with Olson real quick. I saw Olson live last year in Double A. I just wasn't impressed whatsoever. There was some hype around him at that point in time, but same with like Wilmer Flores, who's fallen off a bit this year as well. I see back end starter, you know. So if you're looking for a guy that could be a major league starter, sure, you know, go after a Reese Olson. But I don't see like a lot of upside with Reese Olson. Like, he's always been a solid bat misser. Command and control has always been pretty inconsistent, though. You know, a bit better in his debut. You know, only walked one in five innings. But again, that's one start. Had 22 walks in 36 and two-thirds innings in AAA. I see limited upside with Olson, so he's not really one I'm going after. But do you have any interest in either Baker or Olson right now, Chris?
I have interest in both. Baker's interesting to me if he plays, because improved contact skills this year. He's pretty aggressive in the zone. He doesn't chase. He had an 18% barrel rate in AAA. He's just pretty insane with what he did. And he hits the ball insanely hard. Like, his 90th percentile EV of 106.6 is really good. And he had a 93 mile an hour average EV. So he's one that I'm looking to get in on. Like, I think you can grab him and not cost you much. So
yep.
I like Baker a lot. Olsen's stuff actually grades really well. His slider is pretty nasty. It graded as a 132 stuff plus, and it was one of the best overall pitches in AAA. So you like to see that. And he had a pretty solid grade on his curve as well. Fastball's pretty average. The sinker, meh. But he's got good secondary. So if he leans heavily on the slider like he did in his debut, then I'm much more interested, because he threw the slider 33% of the time, four-seam around 25% of the time. So like to see that. I'm interested in both to an extent and kind of seeing where it goes.
Yeah, I think there's some deep league value here. I just don't know. I mean, is Luke and Baker going to fit into the picture long term in St. Louis? Obviously, they have they've cycled through Alec Burleson, you know, Yoan Yepez, you know, several others. So, but Baker, absolutely, you mentioned he's been mashing this year, you know, very good metrics as well, you know, always shown the big power. He's a big dude. Now, listen to that, 6'4", 280. It has like that hulking first base DH look to him, like the Mo Vaughn look. So, yeah, I definitely think if he gets the opportunity to play regularly, there could be some value there, given the power and how he's made some strides at the plate as well this year. So, I'm more intrigued by Baker than Olson. I've seen Olson, and granted, he does have some swing and miss stuff, but yeah, I was very underwhelmed with Reese Olson, but both could have some value, but I'm more intrigued by Baker than Olson right now. But given all the promotions we've had this season, especially over the last few weeks, you know, who are some guys that we could see up soon that could make some impact? Like, I think right now there's like a big for hitters. There's a big four right now. There's Colton Cowser. There's Christian Encarnacion Strand, Jordan Westberg, and Ronnie Mauricio. No, but when do we see them? Obviously, Mauricio. You know, obviously, Chris, we've talked about him a few times this year as well. Obviously, having a very good year and was pretty good last year as well. But where does he play? You know, they've had him play some second base, AAA, a little bit of outfield as well. That kind of signals to me that they're trying to get his bet into the lineup, but who knows when we'll see that. So I think the two out of this four.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think the two that are closest are probably Colton Cowser and Encarnacion Strand. But what do you think on that?
Yeah, I think Cowser's up within this week, and I would guess that Strand's up in the next week too. It just, there's no reason for the Reds to bring up Ellie and McClain and Abbott and not bring up Christian Encarnacion Strand. So
right.
I think we see him soon. I think Cowser's more than ready. He's back, and he's shown to be. I think he would have got the call if he hadn't had that quad injury.
Like, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, when Cedd Mullins went down, like, it was just like an easy move for them to do, but he was hurt, so they took on Aaron Hicks, which has been an interesting experiment, but
always is with Aaron Hicks.
Yeah. So I think we end up seeing Cowser this week. I would bet we see both within the next week. Mauricio is interesting. I have no clue what they do with him. He's playing second base, which tells me that they want to see him up soon, but maybe they're just waiting to see a little bit more from him. I don't really know. He's interesting, but he's been a stud this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think, you know, when do you think we see Westberg? You know, it's I'm struggling to figure. Like, people keep asking me, when do we see Westberg? I'm like, I mean, it could be soon, but at the same time, you know, I think it would have been, he would have been up by now. I don't know. What are your thoughts on when we see Westberg?
I think we see him up with another org when he's traded. He's not on the 40-man. He has a lot more trade value not being on the 40-man. And I think that's kind of an underrated aspect that we think about when teams are looking to trade prospects. So the fact that he's not on the 40-man makes him more valuable via trade. And the Orioles need arms. So I'm not going to be surprised if they keep him down, let him keep mashing in AAA, boost the value, and then trade him for a pitcher. I think that's what we see personally. Ooh. They just have so many of these infielders. They're going to have to do something. And I think Westberg is the trade chip that nets them a really good arm. And I'd bank on that happening.
Yeah, I think things are lining up nicely for a Baltimore-Cleveland trade. You've heard some rumblings that Cleveland could look to move Shane Bieber by the deadline. Yeah. Obviously, Cleveland's still second in the division, but that's not saying much in that pathetic American League Central right now. They're obviously not going to be a contender this year. So, yeah. If they do look to move Bieber, I mean, Baltimore needs an arm. Cleveland could need, you know, a bat or two, especially in a, you know, in that infield. So I could see Westbrook being moved to Cleveland as part of a package for Shane Bieber. That'd be a pretty fun trade. But yeah, I do wonder if it takes a trade or another injury to open up some time for Westbrook. But if he does get called up, you know, I like him just as much as, you know, pretty much just as much as Cowser and Strand right now. You know, because Westberg has shown that good power speed blend, solid approach, you know, can play multiple positions. So maybe he'll be a guy that has multi-position eligibility moving forward, whether it's second, third, short, whatever, you know, some combination of the two. So if he does get the call, you know, over the next few weeks, I would definitely be in on him. And if you have a deeper bench and can look to stash a guy, and maybe Cowser and Encarnacion Strand are already taken, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to Westberg because I do think he's up within the next month or so, whether it's with Baltimore or another org, we shall see. But that opens up if Bieber gets traded, Chris, hopefully we see Gavin Williams. He's kind of blocked right now because everyone, you know, they got Bybee and Logan Allen still pitching fairly well. You know, Savali and Tristan McKenzie recently returned. Obviously, Bieber is still there for now. So do you think it takes an injury or a hypothetical Bieber trade for us to see Gavin Williams right now?
Possibly. He is blocked, as you mentioned. They've got too many arms. He's obviously a stud, but he just needs to have a spot. So this is the Cleveland way to trade an arm like Bieber this year, and that would open up a spot for Gavin Williams. So I'd be interested to see if that happened. I don't know, but I do think Williams is ready. I'll say that.
Agreed.
I think Williams is instantly probably the best arm in that rotation, which speaks a lot about him. I think he's really good. I think he's one of the few pitching prospects I think could ascend to like SP1 levels. Like he's that special. That fastball's that good.
Oh, absolutely. I think long term he's closer to Yuri Perez than I think most people want to admit. Like I think Gavin Williams is gonna be very, very, and obviously Yuri Perez is gonna be, it can be a frontline guy. I think Williams could be a frontline guy too. And people know I don't like throwing around that frontline ace term very often, but I use it with Gavin Williams. Like the dude's an absolute stud. And yeah, even with a pretty good rotation with, you know, even if Bieber traded with McKenzie and Bybee and Logan Allen, like he could absolutely step in and be that number one guy right off the bat and most talented guy in that rotation. So yeah, Gavin Williams is still very good. And for an elite pitching prospect, I think he's still slightly undervalued, which is kind of crazy to think about. But yeah, hopefully we do see him up soon. Have you ever felt frustration with managing all of your subscriptions? I know I have. With all the streaming services we have nowadays, it can be difficult to keep track of them all. But don't worry, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/toolshed. That's rocketmoney.com/toolshed. rocketmoney.com/toolshed. All right, Chris, let's go over to some prospect standouts here, starting on the hitting side of things. And you know, the first name that came to mind here was easily Yankeel Fernandez, who was absolutely mashing all season, and especially lately. Over the last 10 days, 368, 442, 737, with 4 home runs, 4 walks, to 6 strikeouts, and that's pretty much what he's been doing the entire season down in high A here, as I'm pulling up the overall stats here. He did have 3 games in low A, but most of it's been in high A. Overall, in 53 games, 330, 369, 612, 14 doubles, and 15 home runs. And not a guy that's ever been a high walk rate guy, but does keep the K rate in check. He's showing the raw power. You know, are you buying into Fernandez? Like, I think he could be considered a top 50 guy right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, he's made some improvements this year. And really the reason that I wasn't into him last year was just his chase rate. He chased 40% of the time last year, which left me pretty concerned. Like, I'm just kind of anti like high chase rate guys.
Right.
But we've seen Mauricio make it work. We've seen now Fernandez make it work. There's others that do make it work. But he has made improvements with the contact, which I like to see. Last year, his contact rate was 70%. This year, it's up to 73%. So it's still meh, but it is noticeably better. He's just hyper-aggressive. He swings a ton. He has a 55% swing rate right now. So he just takes a ton of hack, which is why you don't see him have a high walk rate. But that's okay because he's putting a lot of balls in play. And he's obviously getting to results as well. So with Fernandez, I think you're just going to have this Ronnie Mauricio type profile where he's just so aggressive that you can live with the lower walk rates because he puts so many balls in play and he hits the ball hard as well. I mean, he absolutely mashes baseballs. Like, we've seen some crazy EVs from him. That home run he hit last night was literally like just so effortless. Like, it was so low in the zone. The swing was so odd, but it was just like he just torqued his hips so easily. It was like this effortless power. Like, it was a ball that you shouldn't have hit out of the park, but yet he did.
Right.
So I think you can't really ignore him at this point. Like, he's been that good.
Yeah, absolutely. So I moved him up to 41 in my prospect. He's right in the same range as, you know, Mason Winn, Tyler Locklear, Heston Kjerstad. I think he's deserved to be in that range right now. So, and probably, but my next update's, a week or two away, but maybe he moves up even into the 30s or so. I think he could definitely move up that high. And yeah, the bat is legit. Doesn't add a lot of speed. Doesn't walk a ton, but you know, as you mentioned, the contact skills have improved this year. The power is absolutely there. I've even heard people say he's like the next Yordan. I'm not ready to go that high because I don't think he's going to be the next Yordan, but you know, definitely potentially be a very impactful bat moving forward for sure. Now, the next player, much different mold here than this player, but Luis Matos has had a huge resurgence season here and has been hitting well of late as well, to be included in this episode, of course. But, you know, I had a down year last year dealing with some injuries and an illness as well. So last year, I hit only 215 with a 280 OBP, but this year, 335, 403 OBP, 13 steals in 50 games. Also has 5 home runs and really encouraging. You know, the walk rate is tick under 10% right now. You know, in the past, even during his big year in 2021, it was like 5-6%. So walking more, striking out even less. He already was a low K rate guy, but even less this year. K rate's actually under 10% right now, which is very encouraging to see. He's only struck out 19 times in 50 games. Got the bump to AAA a few weeks ago and hit 375 with 7 extra base hits and 4 home runs, 4 steals, excuse me, in those 19 games. Maybe he's a guy we even see over the second half of the season at some point in San Fran. Yeah, he's looking really good right now. Are you buying back into Luis Matos, Chris?
Yeah, he was. I think the important thing to note, he was hurt all last year. So, yeah. Like, that's obviously a big thing. And I think for me, I wanted to see something in the AFL out of him. Like, okay, like, he was healthy. He had a really good August last year when he got healthy. And then in the AFL, he was just kind of like, eh, like, this is disappointing. But Matos has added a ton of power this year. He's making a ton of contact. I mean, last year, his power metrics were kind of meh. I mean, he had a 99.5 mile an hour, 90th percentile, which is like 30 grade power. It's really bad. He's up to 104 this year. So that's a 4.5 mile an hour jump. That's substantial. His contact rates in AAA are just insane. Like, I know it's not sustainable, but it's just so crazy to look at, like, the kind of contact that he's making right now. 91% in zone contact and 87.5% overall contact. It's just nutty stuff that he's not going to continue. But Matos is legit. I think Matos is potentially breaking out, and I think he could be in San Francisco pretty soon.
Yeah, I think he's back to being a top 50 fantasy prospect for sure. I just moved back into my top 50 right now, and could even move a bit higher. You know, I think the X factor is how much power will he get to in games. Even back when he was, you know, breaking out a couple of years ago, that was kind of the question then. Kind of remains that question now. I do think, you know, even as is, I think he's a guy that's probably like a 12 to 15 homer guy over a full season. If he can get like up near 20, which I think he does have the potential to do, if he can kind of tap into that power more consistently, he'll even be even more valuable. But yeah, solid hit tool, better approach now than he's shown. And, you know, with more walk rates, so, you know, stealing some bags. So yeah, I think he's a kind of sneaky, could provide some pretty good value moving forward, and definitely a guy that, you know, the buy low window is nearly shut, but I think you can still get him for a realistic price tag right now. So I definitely would go out and try to do so. Next name, Pete Crow Armstrong, is, you know, I think he's a no doubt top like 25 or so fantasy prospect that just doesn't get that much love. You know, he's shown, you know, an above average, you know, or even maybe even plus hit tool at times, hitting 279, 345, 513 this year. You know, he's a plus runner as well. 32 steals last year, 13 this year. And I think there's sneaky power in the profile. Again, not a guy that's going to be like a 20-plus homer guy, but could be either that 15, the 20 range to go along with, you know, 25 or so steals, solid average. Want to see him walk a bit more, but not a guy that strikes out a ton either. You know, hitting very well in AA this year, Chris. You know, what are your thoughts on PCA long-term?
I think PCA is just going to be one of those guys that just constantly performs. And I'm not going to say he flies under the radar, but he does kind of seem to not get respected like he should. I mean,
yep.
Again, we're looking at a really good power speed combo. He's hitting for average. He's walking. He's cut the strikeout rate even more from last year. He's doing it in AA. He's 21. But the important thing to note is that, you know, when he debuted in 2021, like after his draft year, he was drafted in 2020. So his debut in 2021, he was hurt and missed the entire year. Yep. So he lost a whole year of development. So last year was really his first year in the minors. We saw him perform at a high level. He's doing it again. I don't know. I think this is a bona fide top 20 fantasy prospect because you get power, because you get speed, because he's going to hit for average. And PCA is just a gamer. It helps that he's a stud center fielder. Like, Yep. He's a 70 grade center fielder with a solid arm. Like, he is absolutely legit. So he's better in real life because of the fielding. That only enables his fantasy stock to go up because he's going to play every day.
Yep. Yeah, he'll have a longer leash even if he's struggling offensively at the plate. So provides that value defensively. So, yeah, I think he, for a guy that's a, you know, top 25 caliber prospect for fantasy purposes, he's probably the most underrated top 25 fantasy prospect you'll see out there. So, yeah, definitely love some PCA. Last hitter is a guy that definitely is an undervalued name that is a great target right now in dynasty leagues. That is Cincinnati Reds outfield prospect Hector Rodriguez, 19 years old, just turned 19 too, back in March. So he'll play the entire year at age 19 in right now in the low A Florida State League, slashing 302, 359, 556 with 20 extra base hits in 43 games, nine of which are home runs, six steals as well. Had a pretty solid showing, you know, the past 2 years, hit over 300 in rookie ball. Then DSL, I should say, 2021 and 333 last year between rookie ball and low A between the Mets and Cincinnati Reds organizations. Guy that's always had, you know, been lauded for his ability to make contact. You know, his good speed in the profile as well. And now the power is starting to come along too, Chris. So how high do you think we could see Hector Rodriguez fly up rankings right now? And he's just another, you know, impressive young Cincinnati Reds prospect. You know, Balcazar is another one. You know, Carlos Jorge, a lot of fun young names in this org. But yeah, Rodriguez definitely standing out right now.
He is certainly on his way to being a top 100 fantasy prospect by midseason. If this does continue, he is just mashing the ball. He's small, but he certainly packed a punch in his frame. I mean, he gets to easy power. He has a 9% barrel rate this year. His ninth percentile is EV is 102 and a half. Like, that's good power from a little guy. I mean, yeah, he's small, but he certainly gets to it. He mentioned the contact. It's good as well. Like, things you like to see. I mean, overall, he's hyper aggressive. Like, he swings a ton. We talked about with Fernandez, like, Hector Rodriguez swings as much as those guys. He still makes good contact. Like, I'm pretty intrigued here to see what he could be. I do want to see him move up and face high pitching, but overall, I think Hector Rodriguez is really a guy, and I'm buying in.
And a lot of names to buy into in the Cincinnati Reds organization for sure. Moving over to the pitching side of things, we got four names on the list. You know, one that's, you know, getting to be a bigger name, that's Cade Horton. But the other three are names that I think are very good, just undervalued, you know, good price point dynasty targets right now. That's Jackson Wolf, Jake Bennett, and Thomas Harrington. Now, Harrington just went yesterday, Chris, and you were saying before we started, when we were putting names on the list here, that you were very impressed by what you saw with Harrington. What did you see in that start, and you know, how high are you on Harrington long-term?
Yeah, I mean, he looked pretty stellar. He threw seven innings, scoreless, eight Ks, two hits, zero walks, zero earned. He had 26 whiffs. It was just absolutely nuts. Like, 26 whiffs is, I think, the most I've seen of a minor league pitcher this year. I could be wrong, but that's a very high number. His fastball is mid-90s. He repeats his delivery very easily. He gets nice arm side run to the fastball. The changeup plays well off of it. There's about a 10-mile-an-hour separation, which is encouraging to me because it tunnels very well. He throws the slider inconsistently, but it's a good pitch. Like, it had some flashes of being a plus pitch, in my opinion. Like, he made some guys look pretty silly with the slider, but honestly, just blew people away with the fastball. Like, it just gets on you really quick, and he throws it really well up in the zone, and hitters are just laid on it consistently. He's a heavy strike thrower. Like, 76% strikes yesterday is impressive. Like, very, very, very high number. And he's kind of just done that all year, just been a dude that throws a lot of strikes. So I don't know. I'm kind of buying Thomas Harrington. He was first rounder, if I'm not mistaken. Or he may have been a comp pick out of Campbell last year to the Pirates. But regardless, like, guy's just got it. He's in high A right now. He started in low A and already got the bump. He's been two starts in high. Yeah, he was a comp pick. He was 36th overall last year. I just want to make sure I have that correct. To the Pirates. Campbell was just a great development. Campbell was a weird school because they're a small school, but that's a great baseball development school.
Absolutely, and yeah.
That's where Zach Nato came from. I mean, they've got some guys this year that are really good too. So, yeah, a side note, but I think Thomas Harrington's just really good and probably a pitcher that warrants more attention than he has gotten this year.
That's one thing I love about college baseball is that, you know, with college football, you know, a lot of like the top players come from like a lot of the schools you've heard about, the big names. Same with basketball. But it's like baseball, you get these guys that come out of like these small schools, you know, like James Madison, Campbell, Stetson. This is like these names that, you know, in the other, if you only follow, you know, collegiate basketball or football, you probably have, for the most part, haven't heard of a lot of these schools. So yeah, definitely love that element of college baseball where you have these smaller name schools that can make a name for themselves and produce some pretty good major league talent. Obviously Stetson, you know, the one I just mentioned, produced Logan Gilbert, Jacob deGrom. So yeah, Campbell kind of a similar mold in that regard. And yeah, all three of these guys are pretty intriguing in deeper leagues. Like, I don't think anyone is, you know, none of these three. Kate Horton, obviously, is inside my top 100 now, and I'm sure he is for you as well, Chris.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, the other three aren't, you know, do you see any of the other three being top 100-ish guys? I mean, maybe top 200. I could see like end of the year, Wolf, Bennett, and Harrington all being top 200, but I'm not sure about top 100. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, Wolf's interesting. Like, Wolf's a big guy, like 6'7". He's kind of deceptive, arm slot, like Chris Sale-esque, like fastball really gets up on you, mixes the slider well, tinkers with a curve and change too. Bennett is one that I've watched a good bit, actually. He's more of just like a pitchability guy that throws a lot of strikes. Fastball's right. Like lower 90s. Like, it doesn't blow you away by any means, but he's just like kind of a solid guy who profiles as like a back-end starter. And I'm pretty confident in saying that because he does throw a lot of strikes. He does get whiffs too, which is encouraging. I don't know. I mean, Bennett could be more if the fastball ticks up. But overall, like, he's impressed me a lot. Like, he's got a strong changeup and slider too. And being a lefty, like, the changeup really plays well against right-handed batters. He can throw it more often. So it's a pretty true, like, three-pitch type guy. And with Wolf, there's some reliever risk. But overall, like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Bennett and Harrington bump up a lot. But all these guys have impressed me a lot lately as I've watched them.
Yeah. And all three are good, you know, deep league targets. All three, you know, price tag is pretty low, depending on how deep your league is, how many prospects are rostered. Maybe you can even just add them off the waiver wire. But yeah, definitely like all three of them. And then, yeah, just to wrap up the show here with Cade Horton a little bit here, you know, him and Ben Brown have definitely been skyrocketing up rankings this year. Horton's coming off an absolutely dominant outing the other day. And there's been 55 strikeouts in 34 innings to only 9 walks. And he was kind of a, you know, kind of an intriguing name in last year's draft. Obviously, he was taken in the top 10 by the Cubs as a guy that had great stuff, but not the longest track record. But, you know, the Cubs are looking very good for taking Horton there because that stuff is absolutely playing. As the big fastball slider combination, like, this guy is going to be a really, really good major league starter. You know, I think he could be a guy that, you know, is kind of a workhorse as well. I think hopefully all those injuries are in the past with him, and he's a guy that could provide some good volume along with, you know, elite ratios as well. I'm not ready to go, you know, ace on him. Obviously, I don't, you know, like throwing on that term too much, as I mentioned, but I could see like a high end number two starter here for Cade Horton. Is he in your, where does he rank for you in terms of just pitching prospect rankings right now? Because I think he's definitely a guy that's in that top 10 pitching prospect conversation right now with the upside and how he's performed this year.
Let me filter my sheet. I've moved him pretty far up. Right now, he is pitching prospect and so right in that range. He's legit. I've got him in the 50 range overall. I think the stuff's just pretty stellar, and I just can't ignore it anymore. He looks healthy, and he looks legit. So I'm all in on him.
Yeah, I have him. Let's see. I have him 66 overall right now. He is behind Yuri Tiedemann, Painter, Gavin Williams, Bobby and Bryce Miller, Taj Bradley, Tanner Bibee, and Emmett Sheehan. So that's what I should have been counting along the way. That is, yeah, so that's nine names as well. So he's 10th spot for me as well. But it's like a massive cluster. It's him. It's Ben Brown. It's AJ Smith-Shawver, Brian Wu, Tink Hentz. Even you can throw Mason Miller in there as well. Wisenhunt's getting close to that range as well. So, you know, even Andrew Abbott's right in that range too. So there's like a massive cluster, like that 60 to like 80 or so range in my overall rankings of just really good pitching prospects, a lot of which have kind of popped up this year, or, you know, broke out this year, I should say. Yeah, I'll go with like Browns and AJ Smith-Shawver and Wu and et cetera. So it definitely deserves to be in that conversation with how he's pitched. And him and Ben Brown could be, you know, performing very well for the Cubs. You know, maybe we see Brown later this year. Probably don't see Horton this year, Chris. Do you think we see Horton at all? Probably not till next year, I'm feeling.
Yeah, I would guess 2024. But shoot, the way things have been going and the way the promotions have happened, right? You never know.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows? We've seen a lot more double-A to the major promotions this year than we've seen in the past. So, yeah, who knows? But I think next year you'll see both Brown and Horton, you know, in that Cubs rotation. And, you know, those are two pretty good names long-term to have there in Chicago. But that is going to wrap us up for this episode. Thank you to everyone for tuning in again. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm EricRoss04, Chris at RotoClegg. And make sure to check out our personal platforms for more work from both of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.